And we are live. Jay, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
All good. I'm actually tremendous right here in Singapore. And where are you residing in, and what's been happening, you know, in the past couple of weeks over there? Give us an update.
My goodness. So I'm in Sarasota, Florida, which is near the Gulf of Mexico. And we're having some pretty tumultuous weather with hurricanes and tornadoes. But today is starting to clear up, but it's about a balmy 84 degrees as far as weather-wise.
So weather-wise, it's something that we can't predict, right? But of course, what we can actually control and of course predict, it's our actions. And of course, you have a lot of observations. I've been checking out your podcast as well as your newsletters. You have a podcast called Real Talk, and it's been really fascinating for me to check check out all the latest episodes. And of course, there's been some great posts that you publish on your blog and your website, as well as the newsletter. So maybe tell us a bit about what you do. And of course, over here in our podcast, we try to feature more Black entrepreneurs and also social justice content creators like you. And this is, a really a weird world that we are living in right now. So what better time than now, with the Black Lives Matter movement and, of course, all the great, spotlight being placed right now on racism as well, giving us an opportunity to pause the show and feature you on our podcast. So tell us more about what you do.
Well, it's interesting you said that we're living in weird times, and fortunately, yes, we're having a spotlight on Black Lives Matter and other movements and initiatives, but this isn't anything new. This is something that, unfortunately, Black and Brown Americans have been living with for too many years. And so my voice in this fight is very, very recent. As you mentioned, I have a podcast, Real Talk in Real Time, and my blog, Real Talk. Initially, I did them both to have a platform to talk about my midlife journey, and then also to have conversations with creatives and learn about their journeys and just have fun conversations. It was not meant to be anything heavy or, to follow the news media, because I think in a lot of ways, many of us are a little bit overwhelmed with the amount of content that we get. But, last week, like I said, even though we've been suffering for many, many years, there's something about the enormous weight of the George Floyd death and movement since then that just really weighed on me. Maybe it was just because it was right on the heels of, what's happening with COVID, and I'm just so sensitive to what's, emotions around me, that it just weighed on me. And so it just felt too trivial to stay, business as usual with the type of content that I was putting out. And so I felt it necessary, because even though I have a small voice, I have a small place, my little corner of the internet, I still do have a platform. And in some circles, I'm a leader, I have a voice. And so this was my time to come forward and have something to say. And one of the things that I wanted to say and really make, notice is that I haven't had a voice. And so I think it's important for people to recognize that as a Black woman, a Black businesswoman living in America my entire life, I have never come forward and had a say or lent my, my talents to any type of movement. And that's wrong. My silence has been complicit. I don't feel good about that. So I was depressed. Needless to say, there's been a lot more that I could say that I felt, but I was really ashamed of myself and my inaction. And I felt, what better time than now? Not to use, this time to draw attention to myself, but to draw attention to the fact that if there are other people, Black, white, brown, whatever, that don't have a say, that aren't using their voices or their platform to speak against racism, to draw attention to the good works that a lot of Black and brown people are doing for our community and for the world at large, shame on you. If I can say shame on me, I can say shame on you too, because this is the time that we need to be speaking up, that we need to do better, because like I said, this isn't something that just happened. This isn't new news. These are sufferings. These are events that there's no better time than now to take a stand and to do something.
I think it's really badass, you know, that you're doing all these great things, you know, using your platform. You have obviously your podcast vehicle. You have your fantastic website. I think it's one of the most beautifully designed websites I've seen out there from individuals. Yeah. So, you know, I'm also, you know, inspired by content creators like you who really, you know, put the spotlight firmly on this issue that has been ongoing for not just the past few weeks, for maybe a century or even more already. And of course, you know, I'm looking at your website, and I can see that you have a beautifully shot photographs, and of course you also have a video snippets of you talking about you know, giving way to color blindness, and of course Black Lives Matter, right? And we can also see and sense your emotions, you know, that has probably ebb and flowed during the past couple of weeks. I think one of the things that I noticed was your earlier post where you were basically venting, right? I think walk us through some of the emotions that you went through when things, you know, just transpired. And initially, you know, what was your take on social media, and what was your point of view in terms of using social media and your vehicle and your platform to voice out, and how that has changed, you know, during the past few weeks, the past few days especially? Has any, you know, of your feelings and sentiments about social media especially also changed during the last couple of days?
It's been really interesting, Wayne. I tell you, I have a love-hate relationship with social media. I've worked in social media marketing and management for the greater part of most of my career, and it is a necessary evil, unfortunately. You know, it's an opportunity for people to misuse platforms. And so I've shied away, like I said, with some issues, and yet, you know, I obviously use social media to promote the things that I write, but it's never been like the serious stuff, you know, like I mentioned before. And so now I'm finding that I need to use this, you know, all of my platforms and the opportunity to use free media, because that's what social media is, to lend voice and to give attention. And so, you know, with Real Talk and my other stuff, I am blatant. I try and be open and transparent and vulnerable, because I think there are too many people who are afraid to do that. And I don't have the bandwidth to be afraid to speak my truth anymore. And so if nothing else, if my doing that is an example, if it's my way to lead in, you know, my own little small way, then that's what I'll do. And social media is an opportunity for me to do that. And so, you know, over the last, like I said, last few weeks, my emotions have been all over the place. I've been, you know, extremely saddened by what's happening. I've been invigorated by what's happening, you know, but more than anything, I feel like I want to do something. I don't want to sit back and say, oh my God, I feel bad, or these bad things are happening. Because for me, that live on purpose that I've been talking about for years, that's putting your purpose in action. Once you find that you have a place and you can use that for good, then do it. You know, there comes a point where you have to stop talking about what you want to do and just do it. And that's a big part of, you know, what I've been saying over the last few days too, that, you know, having the resources and having the information is awesome. And I applaud everyone who's used their time to get this information out to people. But then at the end of the day, you, the content creator, what are you doing? You know, I almost feel like I should say, what have you done to help a Black person today? What have you done to help a Black or Brown person in your community today, in your backyard? Not the you know, the platform that you're announcing to on social media, but in your circle, what have you personally done? You know, and let's give focus to that, because I think in doing that, we're also opening up the conversations for people, you know, for a lot of people who've been on the sidelines, who haven't had a voice, who haven't done anything. They can say, oh, look at Sally, look at Jane, look at Joe, look at what they're doing. Maybe I should take a look at what I'm doing or not doing. So more than anything, my emotional flow, I'm not being preemptive in a lot of stuff that I do. I'm being very reactionary. So if I find a link, you know, I'll do my research as much as I can to find if this is someone who's really supporting the Black Lives Matter movement and other initiatives, and then I'm going to blast it, you know, or if there's a resource that I think my friends would benefit from, I'm going to, you know, blast it as much as I can. So, you know, over the last few days and probably for the next few days going forward, I don't have a master plan. I don't have a content plan. Like, you know, you know that as content creators, we have these master plans that we try and stick to. I don't have that. I'm being very reactionary right now.
I think later on we'll dive into some of the links that you have shared on your newsletters. I think some of those resources are really brilliant, and you picked them, you know, from those media that you have consumed over the past few weeks. And we are going to deep dive also in terms of what we can actually do as individuals and also as brands and organizations to help with this Black Lives Matter movement, right? But first, I think let's talk about Black women entrepreneurs, especially something. This is a topic that I think you're in the best position to talk about, and we can also talk about your journeys, how you face issues such as like funding gap for the different initiatives that you have started, and we can also talk about maybe how Black women, right, they turn challenges into opportunities and become an inspiration for the next generation. So this is like a 3-4 part question. Can you maybe walk us through some of you know, the challenges that you face when you first started out?
Well, I've been in the Sarasota, Florida area for, oh my God, since 2002, 2003, give or take. And I have to say, the Sarasota area is very affluent. It's very homogenous in a lot of ways. And it took me a while to find my footing. And at one point, I decided I was not going to stay here, that it was just entirely too vanilla for me, that I didn't have a very cultural experience here initially. And so I was going to leave. And there's something in me that, I'm a fighter. And so I made the decision, if I should ever leave here, it would be of my own volition and not, you know, because I felt like I was being forced out. And so in order for me to do that, I found if I want to see a change happen for me, I need to be a part of making that change happen. So in short order, I joined the Chamber of Commerce. And at the time there was an organization, I think it still might be in existence, the Young Professionals Group. And I inserted myself into that group and put myself on the board to say, you know what, we're having these meetings and these networking events for young people in Sarasota, but we're not really embracing people, whether anyone at for that matter, not just, you know, people of color. And so that was the start of my feeling like I can make things happen if I put myself in a position to make those things happen, as opposed to saying it doesn't exist, I don't like what's happening, and so I'm going to move on. And so that was a big part of it. And, you know, from that, I got into the arts. I found an opportunity to be on stage with the West Coast Black Theater Troupe, which is an amazing organization here, and to bring stories to the stage. And so in all of those things, I feel like instead of looking for those opportunities, I made the opportunities, you know, and again, just in my small little area, my small, you know, space, even in the Sarasota area, there are so many other people, there are so many other voices that are much better at speaking to what's happening locally and globally. But for me, for my life, I've just found, if nothing else, I can speak up. I can even be wrong in the things that I say, but at least, you know, having the courage to speak up, you know, and say, this is what's happening. What do you think? What do you feel? What do you want to do about it? And to have those conversations. So with my businesses and looking for funding or looking for people to be involved, I really haven't done that in everything that I've ever done. I've really wanted to stay grassroots, and I really, you know, I like that startup feeling. I like connecting with people who are at the beginning of their careers or at the beginning of their journeys. And through the course of staying within that arena all of these years, I feel like I still have a fresh voice, and I can still speak to those who are starting out and say, hey, this is what I did. This is what happened for me. And they have something to build on. I'm never in a position to say I know exactly what to do, and this is exactly what you should do. And I'm not that type of person.
I think that's really badass as well, because everyone contributes in their own little ways, right? And of course, you're contributing to the movement in your own ways as well. Can you maybe tell us how most of your time over the last few days, right, has been also about educating, you know, yourself on how you can best benefit the Black Lives Matter movements? And what are the other initiatives that supports racial equality, in your opinion, that, you know, everyone, not just in America, but in the rest of the world, like me in Singapore, can actually help to contribute to this movement?
Well, thank you. Thank you very, very much for saying that. Like I, you know, like you said, I've been trying to educate myself more. There's a lot going on and a lot that I've turned a blind eye to that I'm just now finding for myself. And I think that's really important. But one of the most recent initiatives that I found is How We Fight. Byron F. Wilson, who is the headmaster of the Wilson Academy, finding that and finding his plan for how we can fight back has been, it's been the thing that I felt in my heart, but couldn't give voice to. Like, I feel like I was sort of doing it on a small scale, but then finding his website and finding a lot of things that he has said really resonates with me, because I've from the start said that I don't participate in protesting on the street. Not that I think that it's wrong. I think that it does have a place. Historically, we've shown that it does enact change. But there are, in this battle, in this war that we're fighting, there's a place for everyone. And I'm finding my place in using, again, my platforms and finding ways to educate myself. But as Byron says, one of the best things that we can do is use our funds, use our influence to enact change. Not looting, not with violence, but coming together as a unified voice and using our buying power to affect change. And by in doing that, supporting Black businesses that have been neglected, that haven't received the funding to be larger than, you know, they could be. And so that's probably going to be the bulk of a lot of my attention over the next few weeks, if not for as long as I possibly can, to bring attention to this is how we do it. This is how we fight, not just the, you know, Blacks and Browns, obviously, but everyone. You buy products every single day. You take in services every single day. Ask yourself, who are you really supporting with your finances? You know, shopping from the Amazons and the big markets, who is that truly benefiting? You know, if you're supporting organizations that aren't supporting your causes, is that the legacy that you truly want to leave? So yeah, I said in my blog post, I'm just meeting Byron. I'm just looking at his content. But even if I never contributed money to this cause, his plan for how we can fight back is the most comprehensive and the most spelled out plan that I have yet to read. And it really resonates with me. And ultimately, Wayne, I got to say, you have to do what speaks to your heart and not necessarily following what someone else is doing. So whatever I write, whatever I post, if it speaks to you and if it makes sense for you and your finances, do it. And if it doesn't, find something else to do, because that's what I'm doing. I'm truly finding information, educating myself, but then really taking it in and how does this resonate with my soul? And is this something that my nieces and nephews can look at and be proud of? That is also important to me as well.
This is really brilliant. And we are looking at the howwefight.com website. So I found out the link from your newsletter, and I was, happy to find a resource like this on how, you know, people around the world can just go to this website and also find out about and read about this two-point plan, right? And why, in your opinion, that you think that this is the best you've read so far in terms of the concrete actions that we can take, and also in having, you know, a voice in the fight against racism and discrimination of Black people? And what are you doing in terms of doing your part in this How We Fight movement?
I think, you know, and like I said, with the plan being about using our funds, using our influence to enact change, sort not necessarily even behind the scenes, because our buying power is strong. So if we're investing in the organizations and companies, these are the roots of people, right? Because our families, our communities, that's where our businesses live. And if we're generating funds there, then they can thrive. And in doing that, then that helps us to have a footing, that helps us to have a place in bigger companies, in government. I mean, it just, this is the foundation. This is where we start, you know, and it's not the end. It's something that, it isn't something that you can do in a week, in a month. Oh, I'm going to go online and do some shopping today. And ooh, I've generated some, you know, some business for the cause. No, this needs to become a way of life for everyone to truly investigate where you're spending your money, where you're investing your time and energy, and who ultimately benefiting.
I think you just reminded me of a Netflix show that I recently watched. I think it came out about a year ago. It's a show called, it's a brand new series, I think, called Trigger Warning by Killer Mike from Run the Jewels. So he was talking about how important it is to buy from black businesses, right? How important it is to ensure that the spending dollar stays within the community. And like he was also like using a statistics like, you know, in Asian communities, Asians, when they spend a dollar, right, it basically stays within that Asian community for 28 days, and versus how when they are spending by the black community, it basically, you know, doesn't stay more than 6 hours. So there's a huge disparity in terms of how, you know, people are buying, in terms of the trends of how they consume as well. And it's really important to buy, you know, from black entrepreneurs, from black businesses as well. So this is something that reminded me when I check out this link on your newsletter, and I found out that this is one of the 2-point plan that people can really help to, you know, ensure that the black community don't stay weak forever, and they have a means, especially also a way to fight back. In terms of fighting back, how we fight is basically to support black businesses in your community. What are some of the black businesses that you support? Can you maybe give us a run through or walk through of the list that you recommended?
Oh my goodness. So as you mentioned on my latest blog post, I have a list of links. And one of those is WeBuyBlack.com, which is the largest marketplace for black owned businesses. That is a good place to visit to look at, you know, it runs a gamut of any and all types of products that you could possibly think of. And then, there is also another link there for where do we go to eat? You know, a lot of time that we spend is, you know, eating. And so we want to look at too the places that we go to for our meals. And so there are other resources there to find where you can go in your local neighborhood to support black businesses. And Wayne, I should also say too that, you know, Byron's movement, It's a modern day version. Like I said, it's comprehensive, and everyone needs to visit that website. They need to check out Byron and just look at some of the things he shared. But you know, the Black Panther movement was very, very similar in the sense that we want to keep, like you said, the fundings in our Black communities because we have power. We have so much untapped power, and you know, this plan is a way to enact that power that we haven't really had the vehicle to do that. And we certainly have it now with more eyes being on black businesses more so than I think ever before. Now was the time, and also too, if you're a black business and you're not on some of these directories, now's the time because there are so many eyes looking at these different websites and these different initiatives. That's the other thing too, is like, you know, standing by as a content creator and thinking I built it, they will come, is not the answer. We need to also let people know where we are and that we exist so that we can also, you know, get those businesses and those collaborations, you know, partnerships with other Black-owned businesses, because that's where our power lies too, is that in other, you know, in the Asian communities and the Jewish communities, they work together. They have partnerships and they have collaborations. They keep those dollars within their communities. And that's another area where I think that we can certainly improve is having better collaborative relationships with other black businesses.
And it's really important, even during any crisis, right? Like before the George Floyd incident, you know, the crisis that the world was facing was the pandemic, COVID-19. And during a crisis, it's more important than ever to be collaborative, right? And of course, after this George Floyd murder took place, and the world took notice because it's been filmed and recorded and put on YouTube and Facebook, and everybody around the world can actually view it, can sense it, can also feel the anguish and the pain that the Black community are feeling. And it basically helped us to not just being observant, but also to take actions. And one of the actions that you have done really well that I'm really, you know, that I really admire is that you start this personal campaign to highlight and support non-white businesses and artists as well, right? So it's something that is very inspirational. And I think early on in the podcast, you also mentioned about Amazon. And of course, you know, Jeff Bezos is someone that is a controversial figure. And there are definitely many people around the world that don't really get behind what he does or he says because of his riches. And specifically how he treats, you know, low-wage workers as well. But even someone like him has recently stepped up in terms of, you know, sharing and educating Amazon customers on, especially those customers who are all about All Lives Matter. He basically educate them with his, you know, emails and using his socials to tell them why Black Lives Matter. And what is your hot take in terms of what are, you know, the recent things that he has done, especially in the social space, in the putting a spotlight in this area? Is this something that you think more leaders are encouraged to do, and they should step up even more and do more than just, you know, educating people?
Yes. So for the Amazons and the Facebooks and the Walmarts of the world, allocating funds and stepping up your social media campaign to say that you support Black Lives Matter, thanks. That's awesome. But will it be long term? And, you know, it's interesting because I've had a lot of people contact me over the last few days. I've had businesses contact me over the last few days about collaboration. And one of my first questions to them is, how diverse is your workplace? What was your initiative for Black Lives Matter before last week? Because if you say nothing, I'm suspect. And it'll be really interesting to see going forward just how much of an impact they're truly having. Is it because, wait, I work in marketing. I know how to spin a story. You know, I know that this is a wonderful opportunity for businesses to use this as a marketing ploy. So over the course of time, we'll really see if they're truly putting their money where their marketing is. So yeah, it's great now. I love to see that, but I want to see that next month, next year, and in years to come. So for right now, like I said, thanks. Those dollars are awesome. But over the course of time, I want to see that they're truly enacting change, that you're truly involved in the fight and not just using this opportunity to sell more, to line their pockets, as opposed to truly being about encouraging and supporting the initiatives to stop racial violence against Black and brown people. Ultimately, that's what we're after. We're after equality. We're after making changes so that we're not continually suffering violence of corrupt people that we put in places to support and protect us. That's really what we're trying to do. So again, you know, thanks, Mr. Amazon, really appreciate it. But let's see this over the long term.
Yes, I think completely in terms of not just communicating or being opportunistic, you know, during times like this, but to sustain this message and to see real concrete actions taking place, right? For example, who's sitting on their board of directors? Like, if there's only one at the moment, why couldn't there be more? And if it's something that is only temporary, you know, people will find out. It's all just about going to the website and seeing what are the concrete actions that it takes after this initial furore is over, right? So we definitely want to see leaders like that take more action. In terms of what you have observed as well, like world leaders or even CEOs or the prime movers and shakers in the world, are there any compassionate leaders that have really touched your heart during these times that you think that are worthy, beacons of leadership that everyone in the world should champion?
No. I don't think I'm in a position to say this is a person of power or someone in a leadership position that you should champion. I'm not there yet, Wayne, honestly. Like I said, I think over the course of time, we'll truly see who's standing out and about the mission and about the initiative. So no, I'm not there yet. So check back with me. And maybe that will change. But for right now, other than, the small grassroots initiatives that really speak to me, no, unfortunately, I don't have a list for you yet.
I'm similar in that sense. I think we are on the same plane as well. Although I do really love to see examples of compassionate leadership, like in terms of like world leaders like Jacinda Ardern from New Zealand. I think she's showing a lot of compassion with her daily Facebook Live messages, to her citizens on, what her government is doing to help people to continue to live a normal life, for example. And of course, I also admire a lot of artists as well, like musicians, because I'm a big music fan. I really, admire the likes of Killer Mike from Run the Jewels, who is always thinking of new way to, spread the message that Black Lives Matter. And also showcasing, injustice in the world as well. In fact, quite similar to what you're doing, using his vehicle, which is music, through collaborations with activists and musicians like, Zach from Rage Against the Machine. And the recent album that he put out, I think a few days ago, has a lot of tracks which are featuring lyrics that really talk about, things that are happening, such as bad policing and police brutality, and of course black community being labeled criminals even before an actual criminal action takes place. It's like they have already been prejudged and being arrested and locked behind bars for no apparent reason. And that's all because of prejudice and, of course, this judgment of, people with a different skin color and basically giving them a death sentence. And these are all the things that should be highlighted through even media as well, quite similar in what you're doing as well. So we're going to, we have about 15 minutes left. So before I let you go, I want to definitely deep dive more in terms of what are the other things that we can do to really help in terms of, like, for example, individuals like me or organizations and brands and especially CMOs who are tuning in right now. 80% of our listeners are CMOs. So they would really like to also get inspired from what individuals around the world are doing. And of course, do you have like a list of things that individuals can do to help?
Yes. As I mentioned earlier, one of the best things that you can do locally is look at your circle of influence and who are you connected to. And one, ask yourself how many of those in your inner circle are Black or brown. And if there aren't many, that's a problem. That's an issue. Make a friend. Bring someone in your circle. And if you have people in your circle, ask them, how can I help you? How can I best benefit you? What organizations are you supporting that I can help you to support? And then also, check out Byron's website. Look at How We Fight. Look at that two-point plan and find ways to support that. Find ways to support Black-owned businesses. Find ways to use your voice and your platform to bring light to these initiatives that are happening. That's I think that is the smallest way that we as individuals can be involved.
This is fantastic. I think you're pointing us to the right direction in terms of finding resources. in terms of even some organizations which are really doing great things right now. That two-point plan, I think, is something that we should all deep dive into and not just read it, but also support in whatever, you know, ways that we can, either to just share out a link or to even contribute to the cause. I think it's something that we all need to be more aware of, you know, during times like this. And of course, before we let you go, any last message for our listeners who are tuning in, and also where can we find, you know, the great work they are doing?
Well, my goodness. So I would say that if you're interested in following businesses and links and resources that I support, I will always put information out on my social media platforms and through my jherman.com website, as well as my Real Talk newsletter and blog. But also, I will say that the focus right now needs to truly be on unification and highlighting what's happening in the world, making sure that people are educated, and not bringing unnecessary focus to, for instance, I had an unfortunate conversation with someone online about why are we upholding the lives of Black people who have committed crimes? And why are we making them into heroes? And that's not what this is about. This is about recognizing that there is a disproportionate amount of violence against Black people strictly solely because of the color of their skin, and that we need to stop that. And we need to have more oversight for our police force. We need to have more education within our government systems, and that we need to have more representation in big businesses. So that would be my closing message, is that people, you need to educate yourself, you need to live in a circle, you need to support people in your inner circle, you need to be supported Black businesses, and just be aware, hyper aware of what's going on in your life and not die.
This is really fantastic. And of course, the website you mentioned is below. And so all of us should just go and check your content out and hear what you have to say, and maybe pick up some tips and advice on how we can really take action. So I really appreciate you for what you're doing. And of course, coming onto the podcast and share with us, you know, all the knowledge that maybe people from this part of the world, we are less aware of. And this has been really educational for me personally. So I really thank you. I think it's a real privilege to have you on. I really hope to have you come on to the podcast sometime in the future and update us, you know, what's going on in your life, as well as what are the changes, positive, hopefully, that you have seen since, you know, our last chat and discussion over here on the podcast. So I really appreciate you and thank you once again. So we're going to end the episode right here, and we'll see you very soon, Jay.
Thank you very, very much. I look forward to coming back.
Bye-bye. See ya.
Bye.
And we are offline. Thanks,
yeah,
Jay.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm really thank you again, you know, because you're so sporting to just accept my invitation, you know, so randomly from LinkedIn. And yeah, stretch, you know, more than half an hour. So I'm really sorry that I took up more than 30 minutes. Yeah.
No, that's great. And, you know, like you said, I want to come back because I want to be held accountable too. You know, it's easy for me to say, hey, these other people should be doing something, but hold me, you know, to being accountable, because yeah, the content that I put out, it's not earth shattering, it's not world saving, but I want to find a good balance between making sure that I keep my focus, but then also go back sharing other content that speaks to me as well.
This is brilliant. So I get really inspired by you tonight. Right now it's about 10 past 10 p.m. in Singapore. We are ahead of you, you know, in terms of the time zone.
Wow, yeah.
So yeah, you're inspiring me to continue to, you know, not just get educated, be more aware, be more informed, right? To also share more of your content now. I think your content is really brilliant. So yeah, keep on doing what you love. And I hope to talk to you really soon in the future.
Fantastic. Thank you again. I'll make sure I share this with everyone.
Thank you, Jay. You have a nice day ahead of you. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
See ya.